Morales, rising.
Never know how to start these things. Never know. I guess that's a way to start these things. By just saying,
right.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, we're starting. This is the start now.
Start. And you're listening to the MO Podcast, episode 11. We made it 11 episodes, Swag.
11?
11.
Lucky 11.
Lucky.
I'm looking forward to it.
Lucky number 11. So this is DRM here, welcoming everybody to our 11th episode of the IMMO PC podcast. Even though the PC means podcast, we kind of have to say it twice. And with me, as always, is Swagmaster51. How you doing today?
I am well. Got up early, got a haircut,
ooh,
did some errands, was adulting all day.
So oh, my
I could
God.
Do things like this.
My God.
What,
why? Yeah, so it's this evening might be different. This evening we might be drinking, adulting there, you know what I mean?
Adult, yes, the other adulting.
The other.
Vibing. Soda pops.
Soda pops, if you want to call it that. Well, I do have the Henry's Heart soda. That's nice.
There you go.
That's nice stuff. So, we haven't been on in a while. It's kind of hard because with the lull that's going on, even though we had Age of Triumph come out, we don't have really much to talk about because the game's essentially the same. We had a few changes. The meta's changed a little bit. The raids are up to 390. And after that, it's Destiny 2, which has been great news to see throughout the last couple weeks where we saw the reveal trailer. We saw the teaser trailer, which got people mad because it was... they put more of a hype into this teaser trailer. And then we had the kind of reveal trailer, but all cinematics with Cade and pretty much all of the Vanguard and Gary, which is not Gary, it's Gaul.
Gaul.
Big Cabal guy. And then we have this thing that just happened yesterday with some of the streamers and YouTube folks and PlayStation, Kotaku, and a few other places that got packages from Activision to go to their reveal in Hawthorne, California. LA, it's Los Angeles, but it's the Hawthorne Coliseum, which people are starting to catch up on going, oh, that's the name of the new character, dude. His name is Hawthorne. they're just trying anything to connect the dots. This is how desperate we are, Bungie.
Well, that's why we don't have a podcast every other week.
Yes.
Now, is because we're grasping at straws. So,
yep.
It's hard, just to summarize, basically, is that we've been through a cycle of Age of Triumph now. This week is Crota, I think, right?
Yeah, it's Crota.
This week is Crota?
Yeah, it's Crota.
Yeah, so this week is Crota. There's nothing else to tell you. The strategy's still the same.
It's still
nothing's
the
same.
Yeah, I got all of my armor for Crota.
Nice.
It's all at 84%. I thought
and probably all in strength or something.
It was funny. Somebody put a roadmap or whatever you call it for what boss drops what items. And the first comment I showed, I was like, I think your list is mistaken because you have armor listed and armor is not dropping. Kind of making fun that the fact that weapons are dropping like crazy, but it's so friggin' hard to get armor in these raids. And then when you do get it, it's at 86% and you're like, rip my tier 12 build. But then again, do you really need tier 12 in a raid? Not really. It's nice.
Maybe not in a raid.
It's nice, but not really.
It's nice. It's a benefit, I would say. The big thing is the perks on some of those things.
Oh, man.
Extra damage when the oversoul's up.
Yep.
Carrying the sword, you get a little bit of agility.
Yep.
The big ones that I would look for are the gloves from Wrath of the Machine and the chest piece from Wrath of the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big, but in general, most of it. I mean, do you really need extra damage on oracles? Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe just
it doesn't
oracles.
Hurt.
You know, like, that's the only time my Praetorian foil's coming out is during that fight, and then it goes away. Then I switch it right back to my longbow. So, it's one of those things. And then because of that, the raids have kind of fallen off again. Like, it was exciting. I was excited. We did it. We did Crota 27 times to help people get through the raid to get their adept weapons because everybody really wanted the elemental primaries. And after that, it's like, okay, now what? Again, we play the okay now what game, which is why when Destiny 2 comes out in September, I'm going to go against what I've been doing for Taken King and Rise of Iron and everything else is to take my time. It's not a race. You know, I know folks in the clan, they're going to be very happy to post the pictures of look what I got after I beat the story and look what I got after I did this. And that's great. It's awesome. But I also have a family. I'm not in college where I can take a week off. I might take a few days off because it does come out on a Friday. So
it comes out on Friday, right? So I think I'll take Friday and Monday.
Friday and Monday.
I'm with you. There's no reason to burn content because, first off, there's not a whole lot of it. Like, and not that's not a bad thing on Destiny or Bungie. They just can't. They cannot provide us with enough content, and I've come to terms with that.
Yeah.
But they also, you also don't have to consume it at such a gorging rate that it puts you. What should be four weeks in or 6 weeks in is now 4 days in.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing 48-hour streams. There's no reason to do that. I'll play. I'll be online. Standard gameplay time.
Yep.
And it's like, I just don't think there's a reason to push it. Now, the beta?
Oh, maybe. My God. Yeah, no, beta. Well, you have to go in with bated breath with the beta, not to make it sound like an alliteration there, but you have to be careful because you saw what happened at the start of Rise of Iron. We had those tape errors. The servers went down. They crashed. Same thing kind of with Crota. When Crota came out with Age of Triumph, a lot of folks were having issues around that 1 o'clock Eastern time to do the raid. It was kind of hard because everybody was on at the same time. And
well,
then
Crota, if you remember, not to cut you off, but Crota released at 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Did it?
Yeah. Or, yeah, it was 6 a.m. No, I remember waking up. No. Or maybe it was 3 a.m.
No. It came out at 1 because I remember.
I woke up that morning with Anubik and a whole bunch of like old clan members. Early in the morning,
I know the other
woke up and did that.
I know the other raids were at reset. I don't know because I strictly remember we had to sit there and wait for the update to come out. The update wasn't that long or like that big, but for PlayStation, it takes forever. And then once we all got I swear it launched at 1 because we are all sitting there because I worked a half day and knowing that I'm not touching the game until 1 o'clock when the download comes out, and then. We all sat there and waited. Then by 2 o'clock, we all got it. And right at 2:30 is when those idiots at Bungie put out the teaser trailer for Destiny 2 while we were in the middle of the raid. And we're like, what's going on here? I specifically remember. But all the other ones, yes, they changed at the reset. And I was one of those guys like, nah, I'm not waking up at 5 a.m. to do Vaults and King's Fall and Wrath. I'm not for that. But no, I remember that. I remember.
Yeah. I remember it too. I remember getting yelled at for being up at 3 in the morning.
Different remembrances, but you had a great point there, and I think to tag on to that, our generation, we're a little bit older, but even our younger compadres, they were in their 20s, they're in a generation now where they need to binge everything. That's their job. Like, there's no more, I'm going to watch week by week and get that cliffhanger and like, oh no, I gotta wait till next week. They wait till it gets on Netflix or they wait till they download it on their related sites. I'm not gonna say because that's illegal, folks. And they watch them
Netflix
all at once.
Or Hulu or whatever it is.
Yeah, and they watch them all at once. And they do the same with their gaming. You know, Destiny, their community is huge, and I think it's like people that join in later in the run. They are catching up to the vanilla story, Dark Below, House of Wolves, King's Fall. So they got a lot of content to catch up to. So they're grinding as it is anyway, naturally, because they're catching up to everybody else. And now they're part of the community, the, I don't know, million people that play Destiny. So when Destiny 2 comes out, they might have the same philosophy. I got to grind. I got to do this. I got to do that. But then, like we said, in a week or two, depending if the raid waits a week or two like they did with Vault of Glass after Destiny 1, we're going to be back at the same point unless they do some kind of weird PvP trials thing, similar thing, where that makes you come around every weekend to get that end loot. But then after that, what is there left to do? So, and we've seen with the updates that are coming out, they're getting more casual and casual than grindy and grindy. And I'm like on the fence with that because I didn't mind the grind. That's what brought me back to the game and forced me to love it because I wanted the Gjallarhorn every week and there was only 6 or 7 chances to get it because of the Nightfall and the raids. And then after that, you just got in love with the game. Like, oh, okay, I like this part of it. But now you got 3 of coin, you got all these quests that pretty much hand you the Necrochasm, they kind of hand you the Icebreaker as long as you do the Nightfalls. So they kind of hand you weapons as long as you put the time in, but it's the ships, the shaders, the ghosts, the armor. That's what keeps bringing people back, but those kind of things aren't really worth the grind. Guns like the Gjallarhorn and other guns or transverse steps or anything like that are things that are bringing people back like, okay, I gotta wait till next week. So...
No, I agree. I mean, I'll be honest. I know that it's not coming forward. I'm still looking for an Ice Luna, for a God Roll Ice Luna.
Yeah.
I think it's what keeps me It keeps me coming back. I think the competition that stems from a content release can be good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it for me personally, it's frustrating to see a full-time streamer who doesn't have a job except streaming be able to get another raid at drop. It's incredibly frustrating to me because it turns into, well, how come you didn't put in the time? You know, I don't. What is put in the time? What is that level?
Right.
You know, for Rise of Iron, or even for King's Fall, I remember back when before even the infusion was 1-to-1. If you weren't on at 6 hours a night for 4 days straight, and then I took Friday off when the raid came out, because remember the content release on Tuesday,
yep.
And the raid came out on Friday.
Yep.
You had to be, what was it, 320 at the time?
That was max. You had to be you had to be like 390. Or not, I'm sorry, 300. 290 to 300 was where you had to be for that raid.
Right. So if you were like 292 or something like that, it was not an easy raid.
No.
So you had to grind blues, and you had to, you know, individually put on a piece of armor and then pop a blue and then swap it and pop a blue. And then
the infusion calculator.
If you didn't metagame, it was brutal. If you didn't metagame, you couldn't play video games with your friends. I remember specifically, Loka got sick, could not play, mm-hmm. could not raid on Friday. And it was like, what can we do? So that,
right.
I think the opportunity for them to release a game, let people enjoy the story for what it's worth, let people explore the new world, let people learn what guns belong where, play some PvP in the new maps and the new meta and whatever changes they make, and then 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks from then, release the new raid.
Yep.
Because and to be honest, I hope they tell us nothing. I hope they release Destiny and there's no raid. And then on, I don't know, what's 6 weeks from September 8th?
It's like Columbus Day weekend.
So, right, so I don't know.
So we got 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's definitely Columbus. That's the 20th.
Yeah, so you drop it. Yeah, you drop it on Columbus Day weekend and just go nuts. And literally, and all it needs to do is when you log into Destiny that day, it pops up and says, boop. Gaul is ready for your challenge or something like that.
Yeah.
And are you kidding me? The world would explode.
Yeah. The way they've been so transparent lately, I don't know if they're going to do that.
And I don't think they will.
I feel like even with the Destiny, like the premiere that comes out on the 18th, I know they're not going to share way too much about the game. They're just going to share, here's a gameplay. And it's up for discussion and speculation and things that we don't like doing because it just, you know, gets us all ramped up for nothing about what's going to be played. Is it going to be PvP? Is it going to be PvE? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? You know, whatever. Like, the streamers are already trying to figure out if they can bring their setup so they can stream it, so they can share it with their followers or their posse. And, you know, but who knows in this reveal, if they share, okay, yeah, you know it comes out September 8th, but then the raid comes out this date or whatever. Like,
right.
They've been a lot better in the transparency of their communication in the past 3 years than they, you know, and especially more recently, ever since they got rid of the head of Bungie and they replaced him with somebody else. Ever since that happened, it seemed like they've been upfront about everything. Like, even when the leaks came out a couple days later, they made up their own thing, but they weren't shy about it, especially in the notes when DJ's like, oh, you want us to talk about that? We still have another launch coming up with Age of Triumph, so one thing at a time. So I think 2 years ago, if that would have happened, they would have never said anything about it. It would have been one of those, you know, wool over the sheep's eyes kind of thing where it's like, nope, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. And it's like right there in your face. So who knows? I mean, I'm with you on that, especially with waiting the 6 weeks.
That's probably a little long.
But it's still, they have to do it in certain parts where again, you can't just burn people out of the content because people will grind and grind and grind like they talked about. And by the time we get to Columbus Day weekend, they're going to move on to another game. And mm-hmm. I know they don't want to do that. So they want to time it out in such a way where it's going to kind of like the Sleeper Simulant quest, like on the 7th of every month, there's a random thing that's going to happen. And if you're around for it, kudos to you. If not, too bad, so sad. Wait till the next 7th, you know, because right. Think about it this way. If they do that again, game comes out on the 8th, you know something may come out October 7th. You don't know because they're all about the 7th. So
right,
it's going to
be weird because it may, you know, we'll be at that point. It's not like we can be in Destiny 2 it on the 7th.
Yep.
So, and by that time, I'll be honest, like, this Destiny podcast, I'll admit it, are we going to be playing Destiny on September 7th?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's like at that point we'll have tested the beta.
Yep.
We'll have seen the gameplay reveal and probably two or three other streams.
Yeah.
Definitely E3 will have come and gone. So like at that point, do you see yourself continuing to play a game that just it is going to be, from my understanding, 100% inferior? Like yeah. I don't know that I could continue.
Unless there's something they bring into the game itself that right. makes you stay to play, kind of like the week before House of Wolves where you had the Wolves Are Prowling and the week before Dark Below where they had the swords of the folks running around.
Right, or the nanites or whatever it was.
Yep. Or even that that thing, whatever, I don't even know what that's called, but it seemed to the smart people like Datto figured that crap out and I'm just like, yeah, here are my digits. I have no idea what's going on. And then when they figured out the stupid gun, and it's like, how'd they figure it? I don't care, just give me the code, where am right. I supposed to stand, and you know, let's go from there. I feel like those are the things they need to do to keep people into the game, but then again, what percentage of the folks are you to get to do that to stay around? You know, it's like the we talked in previous podcasts about how we consider ourselves in like the 1%. We're the ones that are keeping the game alive. We're the ones that are giving them the feedback and the positive changes they're making into the game is us. And those are going to be the ones that will be playing this. Well, if there's some kind of cabal invasion and they haven't hit the tower yet, but yet there's like something we have to do on Phobos or something we have to do on Mars that maybe
right.
preempts the thing, you know, with Charlemagne or something, who knows. But
that's
going to be that
story. We got a little bit of insight. Looks like on the 28th, which is yesterday, just to date the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
A whole bunch of streamers, YouTube content creators, reviewers. I'm looking at an article from Business Insider, which...
That's a awesome, different article, awesome, yeah.
That this guy writes about Destiny and got a copy of this item. It looks like they received an invitation to the Destiny 2 gameplay reveal in... Where are they saying this? Hawthorne, California? Is that what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hawthorne, California, at the Jet Center Los Angeles Arena. So, they got some cool stuff. They got one of the Cade figures, which you received if you pre-ordered the...
Yep, from GameStop.
I think it's from GameStop, that's correct.
Yep.
And then they got a cool little like invitation envelope and this like press embargo, which is cool and a whole bunch of legal jargon that we won't go into, but there's an invitation. And on the front of the invitation, or one of the screenshots I'm looking at, is what looks like a ghost without a light on. It's just, I mean, like it would be as significant to a dead ghost as I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it says on the front in red letters with a black background, "Welcome to a world without light." So that kind of seems to be the theme where we've lost power.
Yeah.
We don't have our access to our weapons or our arsenal, along with just the tower being destroyed. And then, of course, there's the invitation. Just Bungie and Activision invites you to the Destiny 2 gameplay premiere. And I guess there'll be like a keynote speech, and they'll be streaming that, I assume. And then they have like these cool, like black ghost pins. They look like on the front is just like a black, like gunmetal type with like the ghost outline and mm-hmm. some detail. And then on the back of that, it has the what do they call it, the tricorn.
Oh, the tricorn logo.
Yeah, the tricorn. Yeah, the logo that you see, the Destiny logo basically. Mm-hmm. And then the number 2, and then the gameplay reveal on May 18th. So it seems to be...
Yeah, that line, the welcome to a world without light, that's a really telling phrase right there, especially, you know, like you said, they got the tower's gone, things are gone. We know that Nolan North was signed. He definitely came out in public to say that he was signed for Destiny 2, whether that's something that we're in the fact that we defeat Gaul or the end of the storyline before Gaul disappears, yeah. Kind of like Oryx. We defeated Oryx and then he... you know, took himself, and then we had to kill him in the raid. In some way, shape, or form, because we defeat Gaul, do we get our light back? And then that's when Nolan North is like, hey, I'm back. Thanks, buddy. Or is it like a lot of flashback stuff where we have to remember, oh, remember when we had the last word? And then all of a sudden you're using a mission with the last word only, and he ghost is talking to you, something like that. Who knows? But, and then other people, and this was kind of neat and awesome too, being that one of the new trends that's going on in gaming, or at least a trend that's getting more popular, is permadeath. Is this something that we're seeing in Destiny now? Is it once you're dead kind of thing? You know, no resurrection. What do you do?
Permadeath is an interesting concept.
Yeah. Especially since we don't like our characters as it is anyway. That's a lot of the comments we see as they talked about, yeah, as long as you completed the Black Garden mission on Vanilla Destiny, your character will come with you to Destiny 2. And we've already heard folks in the clan, like Uber, like Miggy, and even Jiggler, like, I don't like my character. Can I start over? Especially when you see some of the Guardians that are on that reveal poster, whether it's just because of artwork or not. But they got beards, and beards are in. I got one. Ginger had one. You know, Nasty had one. I guess the beard squad's starting to die away. but regardless, facial hair wasn't a thing in the beginning, and now it seems like it is. So who knows if there is a permadeath. You've killed off your Guardians, or like me, I have 3 female Guardians. Maybe I want to be male again, because Xbox, right. I have all my male ones, but maybe I want to switch genders. I don't know. Something like that. So it's interesting, but that was one of those, like, you know, you want to have some, like, the movie guy that died a couple years ago that did all the trailers, like, welcome to a world without light. It's like, ooh. Yeah,
it's definitely got this, from what I can tell, dark theme, and it's, you know, there's very, even in the trailers, even in the teaser, as well as the, I guess they call it the official trailer, it's the sun's setting, things are burning, like there's no natural light that you kind of get in any of these trailers. They're in dark rooms, they're out in the wilderness, and the sun's setting behind them on the city, and the city's burning. So it's, I hope, I get this idea of, like, the Christian Bale Batman. You know, it was like the former one with Michael Keaton, where it was kind of like happy-go-lucky type of thing, and with, you know, the Joker and the cartoon version, and then it went all of a sudden, like, flip the switch, and they come in and it goes dark.
Right.
So I really like that as a concept. I think a little bit of, like, visceralness, like, I don't know if that's a word, but, like, you know, like, you get, like, edgy, or, like, you know, even in, like, you know, Titanfall or Halo, like, they had executions, like,
yeah,
the idea of a hunter getting up and actually using the knives that are in all of the lore and physically getting up in, like, a Cabal's business with hand-to-hand combat and things like that would be so awesome. So the things that are running through my head, and we mentioned we want to talk about the things we're looking forward to, it's all, you know, skepticism. We have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, we that's what's driving us forward until Destiny 2. We could sit here and just give theory after theory. Yeah. You know, like, most of us talked about the Fallen coming back, or the fact that we're going to be on their side, and just so many things that you look at the lore and you think and go, maybe they can go in this direction. All I know is I'm excited that this is going to be the game that they're going to want, because if you do the missions, like, now that we're doing the heroic story missions, and you, as you fly in, you hear the speaker talk or the ghost talk or Cade talk, like, listen, go launch into the Winter's Run strike with a cell from the Prison of Elders.
Archon Priest.
The Archon Priest must still be inside. That really loud part. Cade talks in the beginning. He's so like, word is an Archon Priest stolen from the Prison of Elders. He's so, like, it sounded like he wanted nothing to do with this game, and now you get the Cade that you hear from the Taken Kings, like, Guardian, yeah, we got this Fogos, or who comes up with these names? Anyway, go ahead and kill him. Like, the humor in that is so much different, and that was just a year later. So right. The storyline itself coming in is just making me happy, because I feel like they found their limit of being either extremely cheesy to completely emotionless, and because of that, it looks like there's no care into the story. That's just like, all right, the story is there because it's supplemental. What you really care about is the gameplay. And now they realize the gameplay and the story go hand in hand, and it helps.
Right, they should complement each other somehow.
Right.
It's funny you mentioned about Cade. I started to think about it. The reason he is kind of, and I love him. I love the character. I think he's a bright light in a very dark universe that is Destiny.
Right.
Storytelling. But he gets a bad rap, in my opinion, from, like, critics, because he's supposed to be comic relief, and we don't need comic relief.
I mean
there's not a whole lot going on. I mean, like, Eris is a little rough around the edges, I get it.
Yeah.
But if you're doing the same strike over and over again, and Cade pops up and says that thing, like, you know, hey, Cade, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
you know, the chorus says that, like, Cade, what are you doing here? Like, without the threat of being punished,
Cade
doesn't provide you with anything additional. He's funny.
Yeah.
But if you, like you said, we mentioned permadeath. If there's permadeath and you die and you leave your stuff there, and you got to go pick it up with a different character at some other point in time, Cade really brings a lot to the table at that point.
Yeah.
So that is a bounce back as a concept would be a lot of fun. Also, the idea of fighting dead zombie guardians with your own stuff.
Oh,
they
my
had,
God.
Like, say they had a matador equipped. Oh, man. That.
No.
Sorry. TM. I'm starting my own game.
Oh, man. So let's move on and talk about some of the PvP stuff. I remember in the past podcast, you were not too happy with the sidearm meta and what the meta turned into, and it was a very bitter time, and I was loving it. Now, since they toned the range down a little bit on the hand cannons, they made scout rifles a little bit better, they took away the rapid-fireness of the Grasp of Malak and that Oversoul Edict archetype, and sidearms got the special ammo nerf where you only get one clip when you load in. I hate it now. And I know you've been very happy about it as of late, too. And it's like, it's been very subtle changes that happen, but such drastic performance things. Like, I was so excited I was going to get the 1.0 KD, and now I don't think I'm going to do that the way that's been going. But yet, there's other people that are just shining when it's you see Hawksaws coming back. You see, you know, the hand cannon rifled barrel perk is probably the most important perk. Out of all the perks you can get for a hand cannon, it's got to have rifled, and other than that, it's trash. But yet, you have people who held on to those rifled barrel AS Lunas or palindromes, and right now, they're the kings of the meta. So, how are you going through with everything? Because I know you're talking about the AS Luna, and I've seen you on quite a bit playing some PvP in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I did. I've been doing a lot of... I've been incredibly under the weather. This allergy season is brutal to me, so I've been, like, coughing into the mic, and it's brutal to me to do that to clanmates. So I've been playing a lot of like solo queue, and that can be brutal on your soul.
Oh yeah, but especially when you float in and there's a team of six right against you, and you're like,
absolutely. And it's like, well, you know, shoes on the other foot now, I guess, because we usually run in a stack six, you know.
Yeah.
But so for me, it's as far as primaries, everything feels viable again. It's weird to say that, I know. Because hand cannons are that much better. But I'll be honest, I busted out the Doctrine the other day to finish one of those auto rifle bounties.
Oh, yeah, for the Crucible Quartermaster.
The Doctrine melts everyone.
Yeah.
If you can get a decent line and you can get 1.5 seconds of just line of sight and you can land 50% headshots, oh my God. It's just, they go from 100 to 0. Faster than Drake could sing a song about it. It is phenomenal.
You know what else has been good, too? The Vex.
The Vex has been great. I busted out, just as a goof, the auto rifle from the Vogue. Aetheon's Epilogue.
Aetheon's Epilogue has been pretty good,
too. It's the same thing. It's got persistence on it. It's got glass half full, and it's got, I believe it's got brace frame or field scout or something like that. So you got another 66 bullets, and 33 of them get bonus damage? Are you joking?
Right, yeah.
So, you know, things like that are a lot of fun. Mida feels great. The scout rifle from Trials, the Burning Eye, feels great.
Mm-hmm.
On, like, those bigger maps. So something like a Rusted Lands.
Yeah.
Or a Twilight Gap. Those feel great. Hawksaw's back again. It's the king of the pulse rifles once again. And I've been using Red Death. I've been using Surros.
Yeah, Red Death
isn't
as
good.
Red Death's been making a comeback, too, and I'm trying to, other than getting the shield back, it's like, is that archetype still good? Because I got, the other day, I got a full auto full auto small bore Headseeker Hopscotch Pilgrim, which I think that would be rather nice to use.
So the weird thing about the Red Death is, from what I understand, it's one below, so it's in the Hopscotch. It's not Hawksaw, and it's like Ludmilla or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
underneath that.
Parthenian shot. It's in between, so it's in the Hopscotch one.
Nerwin's
Mercy
is in that
too. But
the
thing about it is, it has aggressive ballistics.
Oh, okay, so it's got the barrel.
It bumps the impact up one to a above a hopscotch, but keeps the same fire rate. So it's got this weird, like, exotic damage bump.
Okay.
Monte Carlo is very similar. It's got the same barrels. It's got aggressive ballistics. So if you're looking for that kind of mid-tier impact, you can get that bump from Monte Carlo.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those out there, too.
Yeah, a lot of Monte Carlos. I'm working on another montage. So I've been doing a lot of throwing knives.
Okay.
So I've been running like Monte Carlo's double throwing knives and then like the reset on headshot kills. So it's like, you know, throwing knife headshot, Monte Carlo, hopefully I get it back, head throwing knife headshot, you know, just kind of like goofing around. And to me, that's what's made Destiny fun, PvP fun again.
Okay.
I hate sweating. Unless I'm specifically trying to sweat, I hate sweating.
Oh.
So, you know, you jump into doubles, you jump into skirmish, you jump into salvage. It's a sweat fest. It's got two guys. One guy's running a year one last word. Don't know why. One guy's running a Herb Benevolence with, you know, God roll perks. Okay. And they're running a year one Crota helmet that gives you increased grenade throw distance as well as gloves that give you faster melee. So he's got, like, double perks.
Right.
And you're like, really? Man. So, you know, I've been trying to stay loosey-goosey, have some fun with it. I hit an icebreaker shot. I jumped off of one of the cheese wheels in Burning Shine and quickscoped a guy and hit a headshot in the air with an icebreaker. Like, things like that, just doing it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
It's just fun. So, for me, do all the bounties, find the guns and those archetypes that are a lot of fun. I suggest, like I said, Hawksaw, Ayasuna, the Doctrine, and then Burning Eye or something like that. Probably for your scouts. Might is good too.
Yeah, I think with me, because I have all those guns, it's just I'm not quite there yet on, okay, we have Twilight Gap. Obviously, certain guns are not as good there compared to other guns. And me, I'm kind of bullheading, like, no, I'm going to make it work. And then you realize you get slammed 4 times in a row. I'm like, no, I guess I can't make that work. Or lately, because I've been getting really comfortable with No Land Beyond, and I feel like I'm not A-plus caliber S-tier user with it. I'm not the quick scoping guy you see some of the hunters do, and you're just like, dude, what the hell, man? But you know, it's one of those guns where I feel I can get those snipes better than I do any other sniper. Like, we were doing trials last week, you, me, and Chris, and CT, and I didn't know how hard it was to use Icebreaker until we were doing that on Bannerfall, and we're going out towards Tree near Mohawk, and the reticle disappears because of the sky. And so now you're literally just waiting for him to be in the middle of the screen and hope for the best that you got a headshot. And it's just, I didn't realize how tough it was compared to a No Land Beyond. You always have the metal sights right there. So no matter what is in your background and what's out in the fore area, you always have the triangle to go after. And there's a red dot there. If you have one of those awesome monitors, you can kind of see it. But but that's the thing where I feel more comfortable with those, because the other thing is because they have the digital scope that depending on the atmosphere or what's around you, it changes the color. And because of that, you lose the sight of where the middle is. At least for me, I'm still getting used to that. But with other guns too, I'm still looking at, you know, you see we get killed by like a lot of PDX 45s. The gunsmith finally sold one last week for the first time in 50 weeks. So there's going to be a lot of people waiting for that God roll, you know, perfect balance, counterbalance, rifled barrel or small bore, roll that, who knows, if he drops in the next couple weeks, everybody is going to be running around with the PDX, because I think everybody, once they saw he was selling it, must have bought one per character. So they got three packages waiting for that God roll PDX 45, because right now that and the hand cans are the kings of PvP. And with the other guns like the Mida, I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with the Mida. It's a great gun. When I run with McNasty, he kind of gives me a hint, like, maybe you should be running that instead. He'll go plop, 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 because that makes that little stapler sound. But it's like one of those things where I feel like, because even though everybody else ran Grasp and everybody else ran No Land at that one point, I just feel like everybody else ran Mida from like a year ago, that I feel like I was too good for it in a way, even though that's a really bad mindset to have. It's like one of those things, everybody's got it, I want to be different, because sometimes if you're different, you do better and you actually get better kills that way, because everybody else is running the same loadout. So I don't know, but Mida is good. Last night we were running sixes, and the gun that's been surprising everybody that you probably will see a lot more of lately is the Boolean Gemini. The Boolean Gemini, the gun you get from the House of Wolves mission from King's Fall, because it's got high caliber rounds, and high caliber rounds got buffed on scout rifles, and that comes with it. It's an intrinsic perk. You're going to see a lot of those. I guarantee you, in the next couple of weeks, people are going to realize, oh, man, this is good. It's just, do you run the with or without perk where you get increased armor or increased agility? So we'll see here.
The big thing for me is, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people, primarily Smoke, because he's so into improving, which I love. But for me, you have to use a gun on every map to learn about it. So, like I said, scout rifles and pulse rifles are great on rusted lands. If you really want to get good with a Luna or the Last Word or something like that, you have to use it.
Yeah.
I know it's not right. It's not the right map for it. It's not the right engagement length. It's not the right archetype, whatever your reason is. But you should learn, at least, in my opinion, you should learn just as much from a loss as you do from a win.
Right.
And probably more. So if you're on, for example, you're on B special with your back to the wall and you're shooting up at like the collateral, like the environmental hazard, and you're hitting them for 12 damage, now you realize, well, I got to make a move up the side of the wall, get around that corner and approach from a different angle. Or I got to lead with a grenade first because I'm not going to do enough damage. You learn those things so quickly. Well, I feel like I learned those things so quickly immediately you're like, I'm getting destroyed by a scout rifle. I gotta make a decision here. I gotta move up. I gotta get out of it. I gotta leave with my sniper. I gotta do something.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is.
You see with other players. So big. You're totally right. Like Titans, they run the double lightning nades. They don't do it just to troll, but they do it just to get the head start because it does 122 or something along those lines. And then with the Last Word, being that the Last Word has been weaker, you know, Jiggler's talked about that with me last week about how it's sad how the Last Word is not. They finally found something to nerf Last Word to the point where now it's not the go-to hand cannon anymore. But you can still run in there and get those crispy two taps at this point after you hit them with a lightning nade. But before that, you know, you get the three or four taps with a Last Word, no problem, no nade, no melee, no nothing. But you need help now to beat out the Hawksaw or a palindrome, and some of these palindromes have luck in the chamber. I mean, Hood had probably the crispiest two-tap I've ever seen with his luck in the chamber palindrome from the trials matchup they had with Vanguard, True Vanguard and Holtzman and She Snacks. And True Vanguard just backing up because it was just, he's trying to get the position on the suicide tunnel, and all of a sudden Hood comes over from the B flag and two taps him right there at the opening, and he's just sitting there going, wow. And even Hood's like, did I just two tap him? So if you just line up your shots properly, you get the headshot, luck in the chamber headshot, dead. That's it. Yeah. So that's PvP. It is what it is. I'm still learning, but you're right. You said that to me the other day too when we were playing together, and you're right.
Right. I think 72 hours. That's my rule. It's fake and it's a joke, but I truly believe it. If you really want to get good with a gun, 72 hours of gameplay, regardless of map, regardless of style, regardless of gameplay type, 72 hours.
I also have a new controller in my hands thanks to King Tim, which, by the way, shout out to him and his family. He just had a baby boy, or yes, his wife did, actually, not him. I mean, it's not Junior here. This is, you know, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. My nipples are sensitive. No, it's an actual female that did it. But congratulations to him. He did up my controller with the buttons that he did put out on the in the clan wall. And so far, you know, the first day I got it was one of those like, what the heck am I supposed to do with this? It was actually intimidating. We're doing Crota and I have buttons everywhere and I'm hitting buttons when I'm normally supposed to shoot and I'm crouching. I'm like, No, I'm not. Oh, and I felt overwhelmed. I actually felt overwhelmed. And then once I just ignored the buttons and played, and then yesterday I played a lot, it felt good. Like I'm jumping with my right hand and I'm rezzing and grabbing ammo and stuff with my left hand. I know other people do opposites, but it's to your game style. You know, a lot of people maybe jump with their left hand with the paddle on their left hand and whatever on their right hand. But I did switch to Puppeteer because Puppeteer, you crouch or slide with the stick with R3. So that seemed to be going good because again, the goal is you don't want your thumbs to leave the sticks pretty much. So, Correct. So I'm learning that, but cool.
Yeah. I've got an Impact coming. One of the new boys.
Okay.
Scuff. So I'll have, I'll have a review on my YouTube channel. No, I'm joking. Yeah, no, I'll report back.
We're gonna have a swag unboxing. I'm just gonna have a beer here. Yeah. And be like, yo, what is this? You know?
Exactly. What is this? Scuff sent me a new controller over here.
Yo.
Use my code SWAG. No. So I went with the Impact. I've heard great things about it. It's more like an Xbox controller, but from what I understand, it's just like ergonomically better. But like you said, it's got four paddles. My Scuff now only has two, so I'm a little worried about that.
I see.
Also,
Ermagood.
Yeah, so also for anyone who's looking at Scuff, I highly suggest if you're going to do it, do the remapping, because don't make jump one of the paddles, because you will break it.
Yes.
Especially as a Titan skating. I've seen a lot of them need to be replaced, so I will be running... I think I'm going to do a combination of Bumper Jumper and Puppeteer.
Okay.
So, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I guess. Let me get a manager. I'm like, please. This is important for me.
Right. Google.
Cool. All right. Well, welcome, Beanbag, to...
Hello.
To the podcast. And Beanbag is here because he is our Guardian of the Month. And by goodness, you know, it's April 29th. We might as well wait to the last minute to do our part. And make sure he's on the podcast.
It always turns out the best, right?
Yeah.
You procrastinate.
Always. So how's it going, my friend?
It's not going too bad. I just had a... kicked off the golf league down here in Florida. Got a couple beers. Had a nice sunny day. It's been nice. It's been relaxing.
Nice. It's been relaxing. So how long have you been in the clan?
I hit my 1 year mark, I think, early March.
Okay.
So just over a year, maybe 13 months or so.
Nice. Yeah. What, so you were around before we made the switch to Discord, when we were on the Bungie wall. So for those of everybody who, really don't, we weren't around for that, because we made the switch like, what, July, August, I think we made the switch to Discord.
I think so. I think it was about July or August.
Yeah. Give a little taste to the newer members of the clan. How was that, trying to talk to people on the wall?
All right, think about your conversation, and then think about 30 other people having a conversation at the same time, and you having to look through it like 100-person group chat. It was insane.
I mean,
PLFG just imagine, was on the same page.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because we had two different channels,
PvP, LFG, PvE, LFG, Off Topic, and the Not Safe for Work channel all on the same,
basically. And then the recruits were on there, too. And then we had the wall... We had the wall that we had where we got in the clan, and we can just talk about whatever the heck we wanted to. And then maybe a few things like, yo, I saw Beanbag in there with this recruit. Who's that recruit? I don't like him, or something like that, or what's going on with him, or
right. We had the deal? What was it? The club? We called it the club wall?
Yeah. So imagine all the channels we have in Discord on one wall with recruits who are eager to be part of the clan. I remember a few recruits who just were like, please shut up. Please shut up. Just stop talking. Just
spamming. Just spamming, man.
I want trials. Can I do trials? I want trials. Can we do trials? I want trials. So bad. Oh, man. So I haven't played with you that much in the last couple months. Remind me, what is your favorite class you use in the game?
My two mains, I switch between Voidwalker and Stormcaller.
So you're a Warlock. Warlock Master Race.
Yeah, I'm a big Warlock. Nice. I don't really play too much Sunsinger. I play Striker Titan.
Okay.
Blade Dance is fun. I still haven't even leveled up my Golden Gun, but I play them all three characters, but I play Voidwalker and Stormcaller way more than the others.
You know, it's fun. You know, it's funny. I was the same as you, and the Sunsinger kind of died. You know, when King's Fall came out, unless you were doing something you knew you were under leveled for, so you wanted that. Yeah, let me have self rest just in case I make a fool of myself or whatever. But now I feel like with the Wrath of the Machines raid and a few other things that came out, with fusion nades being the thing that helps with Viking Funeral and so on and so forth, I feel like I haven't been Stormcaller in the past 4 months, because I've been either Sunsinger or Voidwalker. Voidwalker for PvP, Sunsinger for the raids and stuff. And really, honestly, you're starting to see Sunsingers out more in PvP, because that self-res, we don't have that shotgun or the whatever to stand over top of them because of the special ammo economy. So now people actually can get away with it and slap you and die. That's interesting.
I got robbed of the worst Rumble game the other day. First off, I choked. Second, dude was running fusion grenades and running double fusion grenades. It was just sticking people back to back to back to back to back.
That's dirty.
Went on a nice little tear in the beginning, and then he was just tanky with his flame shield, fusion grenades. It was god awful. But yeah, I'm seeing a much bigger resurgence of them, you know, because of how strong fusions are and how hard it is to shut down Radiance. Biggest issue with shutting down Radiance is, you know, you kind of got to ambush them. And when you don't have any aim assist in your shoddy from the air, and even when you're on the ground, it can blank or miss half the pellet sometimes, you're still at a disadvantage. So,
yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, they brought the ammo back in such a way where you have it and you don't have to reload it there and look like an idiot, like, you know, panicky. Like you see the horror movies where you got the bad guy coming towards you and you're there trying to load your revolver or your shotgun, and the movie's like, and then you get killed. Like, at least it's there for you, but you're right, the aim assist. People forget about that with the shotguns. They had the whole nerf of the rangefinder stuff, so it was almost like shot package got nerfed with rangefinder kind of thing, but they forgot that the ADS thing was changed and that the aim assist thing is gone. And the movement, you can move faster before you move slower with a shotgun. But sometimes the fasterness, it threw off everybody's timing, so you missed your shots because you're so used to being a little laggy, a little magnetized to the guy, so you can just pop and go. So, absolutely.
Well, I remember seeing a conversation on Twitter the other day, it's probably a month ago now, that somebody was talking about how the in-air accuracy was, one of the developers was always talking about that inaccuracy had always been there, but it had always been compensated by the aim assist.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying, hey, you know, you could, you know, jump in the air, the shots would move within a cone, but oftentimes it was compensated by aim assist and you were helped by precision damage. Now we neither have aim assist or precision damage, and so it's people are having to adapt to seeing their shots with more. So I personally think now that close interpersonal is a tier one perk.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I have that on my Matador. I don't know. I've ignored shotguns since the update because I think there's too much to think about. And the fact that it's not reliably there on like a sidearm. And, you know, sidearms, it's one of those things I wish I was one of those guys, those hipster dudes. Like, I had a Wormwood before everybody else did. Because they are a good gun even before the meta came out and before we were forced to use them. They're not bad. They're pretty good.
Well, yeah, and everybody used to run No Land Beyond sidearm because that was, you know, one of the better loadouts you could use, you know, or one of the best secondaries you could use with No Land Beyond. I used to run that back in Taken King, like, and before these patches and everything came out because it was tons and tons of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And they melted people. But when you had special ammo, shotties that can one bang, you know, helped out a little bit more than a sidearm. But
right, absolutely. So what is your if you had to name the top three guns, exotic, legendary, even white? What are your three favorite guns in Destiny that now I guess you'll be sad because it's not coming forward to Destiny 2 in a couple months?
I'd probably say. Number one, I got a performance bonus crowd control party crasher that was my very first party crasher drop, and I've been using that ever since. So I love party crasher because it feels less sluggish than a Matador.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So
yeah.
I'm gonna be sad about that, and I found that fun gun to be very, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Last word, I always, when I started playing, I sniped.
Okay.
And Sniping Last Word was really, really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I still run it with a shotgun, you know, in Rumble sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt so crispy, and in the last couple months, it's just fallen off a cliff. So I'm like, all right, you know,
Yeah, we were just talking about that before you came on. But the last word, we think they finally found the proper nerf for the gun, because they always said they did this, they did that to the gun, but yet people still ran around with last word, and it's like they didn't do anything to it. It still melts me in three shots. Yeah, it doesn't have the whole, yeah, I can't get mapped by it like you used to, but you still had no chance, where now, since they toned the range back just a hair, I feel like that was enough, that now the last word's not a viable hand cannon, not as viable as it used to be, say, 4 months ago. Like, do you agree with that?
So, B-Bag, do you think it's, like, you've used it recently, you're just not, you can't get behind it, right?
No. I used it the other day in that game I told you I choked.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I was running last word Matador.
And so, do you run it with high caliber?
No. I run...
Perfect balance?
Soft ballistics or perfect balance.
Yeah,
soft ballistic, perfect balance.
Definitely, I would say high caliber rounds is the only way to run the last word from that one.
Really?
It gives you a 5-range boost. That 5-range boost equates to 25% range boost.
Oh, wow.
Now, it doesn't compare to a lunar range boost, but for the last word, when it goes from 3-range to 4-range, that's a 25% increase in range. It is, for me, I'll use it on every map, every map that's like Exes Blue, Exes Anomaly, Blue,
Burning Shrine,
Twilight Gap, Asylum, maybe not Burning Shrine, I like the Luna.
That's right, there's lanes on that, there's lanes though.
But right. So, it feels crispy with the high caliber. I suggest anyone give it a chance. And then, like I said, with the soft ballistics, because it gives you that extra range, that range boost too. It's filthy.
Good SGA right there. Okay. That's why people need to listen to the podcast. You get those SGAs. You don't get that from Reddit. You get that
download,
right here.
Comment, and subscribe.
Yes, iTunes. iTunes. But that's cool. Last word. And what's your third gun there?
Ooh, I'd probably say my Hawksaw. I got the old Taken King Hawksaw with the SLO 28, the fitted stock, the small bore and counterbalance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting us a really nice three burst just feels so good.
I have to agree. I was raiding with McNasty. I was using his account because he wasn't available to do the raid. So I'll be a nice guy, and he has that Hawksaw. I mean, I trashed mine. Probably because it was late at night and I was drunk, and I saw on Dim that my PDX 45 and that Hawksaw had the same stats or even better stats, and I was like, yeah, I don't need the Hawksaw, so I deleted it because PDX 45 was better, and boy was I stupid. So I don't have it anymore. He had it, and I was too lazy to switch guns, and I was, other than the 5 palindromes he's got with Luck in the Chamber, that I'm not going to say anything else. That was the only gun I could usually use because it was in Crota, and I was melting those Hive, and I'm like, oh, wow, I forgot how good this was. And then I'm like in the other side of my shoulders going, this is why he's so good. Look at this gun. He just melts people with this. That's why he has a 6.0 KD in sixes. This is stupid. But, yeah, now that gun, and since they buffed it, or, you know, I guess everything else got nerfed around it, so now that Hawksaw PDX 45 archetype, Blind Perdition, is now back to being one of the kings of the PvP, that in those Lunas, palindrome, you know, types.
Well, it was always good, you know, and I've run it pretty consistently since I picked it up in Taken King. It was one of the first guns I bought, you know, because I had a friend who was like, you gotta buy this, and then you gotta buy the Hung Jury.
Oh, yes.
And,
sick roll, dude.
You know, if you don't know, this week, you know, Dead Orbit selling a God Roll Hung Jury.
This week, every week for 32 weeks.
Hey, don't make fun of me. I never got it. So.
Wait, what?
Oh,
have
never
you
bought the Hung Jury?
It was available for like till the April update. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Wow.
Just never picked it up.
Wow.
I preferred
the Tunella?
No.
The Quakatus?
The full auto Disc 47?
That's a totally different archetype, though.
Like I know, but
that's like an L shadow.
That. I never liked that heavy archetype.
Well, it's not quite that heavy. See, to me, I hated the Hung Jury because you could not I missed my Vision of Confluence. That was a gun that I hated when I first started playing the game that I grew to love, and it was like my baby, and then they got rid of it. And Hungjury was the closest thing to it because it was the same 2743 impact rate of fire. And then we had the DIS-43. Why? Stupid. So when we got the raid update and we got the Vision of Confluence back, I was like, oh, my baby. So I deleted all the other ones. I still kept the Hungjury because it's sick roll, dude. But everything else, my Vision of Confluence is back. Yeah. Yeah, goodbye. But that's weird. I thought that was those guns that everybody got. It was like, you know, free samples of, you know, Tide when you walked into a grocery store. Everybody just got one kind of thing.
I don't know. I don't know if it was out of spite. I don't know what it was. I mean, I was...
No, knowing you was out of spite.
It was a year ago. Knowing me, it was probably out of spite.
Yeah. I didn't even know you that year and a half ago, and I can just imagine, like, I'm not getting you.
Right. I was like, no, why would I need this? This is dumb. Like, really? I need a God roll, blah, blah, blah. And so I just never got it. It was one of those ones, but I made sure to pick up that. I've had some crazy Hawksaw rolls, so I'm a big fan of the Hawksaw, too. I guess definitely am.
I got the Hungjury for Kingsfall because, you know, back in the day, that was what you ran to be forever 319.
Oh, yes. Right
now, because team class items.
Class item. Or I pulled a bro, man. He and I did the same thing pretty much where I had it was because it was the infusion calculator. I had a 320 dead orbit class item, you know, the whatever. What the hell do the Titans have? The mark. The mark.
Butt towel.
The butt towel.
Yeah.
I had the butt towel, and then I got a good rolled whatever from the raid, and it was 318. And I infused my exotic 320 into the 318, and it went to 319. And I was like, why? No, why?
No.
Because I forgot, I didn't realize that exotics had a different percentage than everything else. And I was like, oh, that's so dumb. And then I never got anything 320 again. I ran so many SRL friggin' matches. That's probably how I got so good at it. And I never, ever got a 320 speeder mark. Not one. I got helmets, and people were going for the helmets. But nope, not a class item. I feel your pain there. I feel your pain.
No, I will say, though, that the Luna is always super, super good. The Palindrome, since it came out, you know, has been fantastic to me. But, you know, those three, the Party Crasher, the Hawksaw, and the Last Word are definitely where kind of my heart lies.
Right.
And I still love three-tapping people with Lunas.
I wish I knew. I don't... I got one last night, and it had Outlaw and something else, and I was like, oh! And then it came with hand-loaded braced frame or feather mag. I just wanted to punch. No. I just wanted to punch my television. I really did.
For what it's worth, reinforced barrel is not as bad as everyone says. All right, I just want to put that out there.
It didn't even have that, or I would have taken it.
I know.
I mean,
rifled is like the end-all, be-all.
I think it is.
My Luna has reinforced, and I still do work with it.
I mean, the Palindrome that he sold last week had Mulligan, Luck in the Chamber, and reinforced. It sucks. I can't use it. It goes up all over the place because the stability is crap on that. It's got the range, but it doesn't have that nice stability up and down going. It does like a left to right, whereas the rifle does go up and down on the Palindrome compared to Luna, which is kind of lists to the right a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Stability can be accounted for. That's all I'll say.
I know.
The one thing I do like about the Luna over the Palindrome is that kind of up into the right kick, because there's some times in the Palindrome when somebody is strafing to their left and your right, and you lose them behind the gun, and you can't properly line up the third shot.
Oh,
you
know, good.
Second shot, third shot.
Good point.
And so the Luna, as it kicks up further and more to the right, people can't move as far when the gun is resetting, so you can see them and have a proper reset.
That's a good point. I never even thought of that. You see the comments, and they go, well, it goes up and down, and they're like, delete every AS Luna. Goodbye, stupid AS Luna. And then you realize, you make a comment like that, I'm like, oh, why did I delete them? I never had one anyway, so except for the one I just mentioned, so it don't matter. Nice. So in Destiny, you've played a lot, just like most of us. We're like the 1% that are still playing the game. You're still currently playing. You're playing it right now, actually. You're in the game anyway. I can see that you're in the game. This is a tough question. This is the one where if I would have told you ahead of time, you'd been like, oh, I got an answer prepared. But I like making sure you're on the spot for this. If you could name one moment in Destiny, either recently or even all time, whatever's easiest for you, was like that epic moment that you just wish you could relive over and over and over again because it was just the most awesome moment you've ever done in that game, what would that be?
I'd probably have to go with two.
Okay.
I can't pick one, you know, because they were both once PvE, once PvP.
That works for me. So that's one on each.
Like two different PvE games. One is, you know, about a month and a half, 2 months after I started playing, you know, like 4 or 5 days after Taken King dropped. My IRL buddy, Integral, who has recently, you know, kind of backed out of the clan due to, you know, personal things, we went through to King's Fall, and it took us, like, it was myself, him, three other blueberries, and, like, a Sherpa.
Okay.
And it took us 5.5-6 hours. It was, like, 2:30 in the morning on a Saturday night when we finally killed him.
Nice.
And, like, standing up and, like, having to, like, hold the shout in and just be like, yeah, you know, because it's 2:30 and, like, everybody in the house is asleep. And,
your girlfriend would be very upset about that, yes. Yeah. We've heard stories about her already. No. Yes.
Well, she's like I said, she just didn't want me saying anything stupid on here.
I got you. You're doing great so far. You're doing wonderful.
Yeah, and then the other one was in January or something of last year. I hopped on Reddit to kind of find somebody to like learn how to play Trials, and it was the map was Blind Watch, and which is the worst map in the entire game. Everybody talks about floating garbage, but Blind Watch is the worst map in the game.
Oh my god.
And
you're right. I hate that map so much. People just stand on the porch awning and snipe you across the way as you're trying to spawn in or whatever. So stupid.
Oh, it's so bad. And so I ended up playing with these couple of British kids, you know, and as you know from all the British guys in our clan, British guys are really, really good at first-person shooters.
Yeah, they are. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, ended up like game 9, both of them were down. It was like 4-3 our advantage or something. So it wasn't like a 4-4 clutch or anything like that. This dude, we thought we had it. This dude behind us self-reses. I popped my Stormcaller and just melted the guy while he like killed the other two teammates. Mm-hmm. So was able to clutch that out. I was super happy about that. And
nice. It's,
been playing Trials off and on, and that was tons of fun.
Nice. Hey, Swag, do you remember the first map, the map when your first time going to Lighthouse way long ago?
Yeah, it was Burning Shrine.
Burning Shrine.
I was lucky enough to get my very first Trials Flawless card was on the very first Flawless map, the very first Trials release.
Oh, lucky you.
I was so in. I mean, you talk about like being into PvP now. I was even more so back then,
right?
Because I was like a blink shotgun Hawkmoon like scrub.
Oh, we don't like you then.
No, yeah, I was the worst. and I mean, you go back. You can the concept of two tapping, the concept of you know slide shotgunning from a million miles away with a Felwinter, blinking and shotgunning, backstabbing, all that stuff. And actually, believe it or not, it was myself and two super old standing clan members that are not with us as members anymore, but Anubik and Thrust. Like, it wasn't this, like, stacked squad, but we just got lucky. We beat some pretty good players that are still in the game today. And that, like, that, and you know, talk about moments. That's probably my moment. You know, I've been to the Lighthouse. We've done it. You jump into a group with Chris or Jiggler or Liam or, you know, John or whoever wants to play.
Right.
And you get to the Lighthouse and it's a good feeling. But, like, you know, going, like, for me, like, hearing things like Miggy and Bruce and Umbreon, like, beating BSK members and stuff like that, you know, Smoke makes jokes, like, Immo's going to be known in D2. Like, I legit think the things that some of the big PvP players have done in the last 3 to 6 months,
yeah,
being yourself, Smoke, Umbreon, like those guys that have done it, and obviously, you know, Chris and Jiggler and Hood and them, Nasty's on that list probably too. Like those guys, you guys have elevated the PvP bar to a level that I think, come Destiny 2, I don't want to play PvE. Like, that literally, like, we were talking about, you know, what we're looking forward to. I'm at the point where I'm hoping DRM invites me to do a raid because I haven't done PvE, like, in 6 weeks. And he gets me and the PvP guys together to do a raid because I'm so out of it.
Hell
like,
yeah.
That's the level I want to get to. You know, because I really, I'll be honest, my goal is to be able to carry. And I don't want to use that word, but I would like to be able to get in with two guys and take anybody to the lighthouse.
You're getting rid of my secrets on why I invite Jiggler and Hood to the raids I do.
Well, those are
nice lighthouse runs. But yeah,
and on. You're 100% correct. You know, like a couple months ago, Umbreon, Smoke, and I were just messing around, running a card, and then all of a sudden, it was just like, "Oh, you went flawless." It was like, "Wait, that was game 9? Wait, what?" Like, nice. Didn't even think about it. And then, you know, with that game with Hood, the last couple weeks, things like that. That's not the first time, you know, a team has played TV and his boys, you know, McNasty and I did it on Floating Gardens and just steamrolled our way past them.
Yep.
We run into a lot of people that are notable big names.
No, absolutely.
Destiny and Skirmish and Rumble and give them a run for their money.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my one of my favorite moments is with Jiggler and Jack. We were on Pantheon and we faced Enkutch. And, you know, even though Enkutch was doing a double carry, Enkutch was, like, number 15 in the world at the time before he kind of stopped playing Destiny. Yeah. Like, him and Slayeridge kind of disappeared from the Destiny universe right now, but they'll be back for Destiny 2. But at the time, double carries, that was his thing. That's how he made his money, and he was good at it. And we stomped him, and it was a good feeling because for me, you know, I'll always downplay myself. People are going to get pissed at that, but I'm not that good. I'm not good at PvP. And to have the ability to one kill Enkutch with my Koikatus, and he had to look me up, go, what gun was that? And then two, to actually feel confident the fact that I didn't feel like I was dragging down Jack and Jiggler, even though if you ask Jack about it, Jack will think I carried him. Well, Jiggler and I carried him, and I'm like, no, you two carried me. But in the end, we all three worked together and we beat a streamer. And a streamer that was good, and it was 3 in the morning, and for Jack it was like 7 in the morning, so he was super tired, and we did it. And you're right, you know, from almost like that moment on, it's not uncommon to see McNasty face, you know, Giggles, or see Jiggler face Madaro or somebody like that. Like, you know, Robo and Madaro did a card earlier this week and got flawless. So stuff like that, you just see and you're like, wow, that's so cool, you know. And that we're getting there now.
I keep running into I live in Florida, South Florida right now, so I run into Gabriel all the time, AE Gabe.
Okay.
Run into him in Rumble, Control, all that stuff. And, you know, it's I don't know what his perspective looks like, but it doesn't look bad on me to be coming in second, you know, in a room.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. And nice.
Either way, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, once the name starts getting out there, once people know it, like, we don't have tons and tons of people that are, you know, streaming. We're not the stream team or whatever the hell those, you know, kids call themselves. But it's enough that we are able to get ourselves to a level in the game where, you know, we're running into people that are considered very, very good and putting up a fight.
Right. No, absolutely. Nope. And hopefully we'll get there with D2. And I'm sure we will. Like, you'll get, like, swag saying, you'll get a lot of PvP people from the gate going out there and not doing the PvE content. And then you got people like me who will go right into the story, go right on through to get the guns or to get the heads up on that stuff. Knowing the mechanics, I always feel like the PvE stuff helped you with the mechanics. Even though we've played Destiny for 2,000 plus hours for a lot of us, they're gonna do something to the game. They're going to make us, kind of like they do with Titanfall, kind of like they do with Call of Duty, they add one or two little things where you can wall run or, you know, like in Mortal Kombat, they added run from Mortal Kombat 2 to Mortal Kombat 3. That changed the way you played fighting games because now you can run combo, you know, so things like that where they'll do that with Destiny 2. Maybe the beta will be a good place for us to just party up and go, hey, let's figure out the mechanics on this. And then by the time September 8th comes around, we'd be Gucci. You know what I mean? So
the mechanics for me aren't that hard. You know, the things that I learned how to do, you know, and that paid off for me in PvP, you know, are oftentimes easy to replicate in PvE. So, you know, slide shotgunning, you know, you can slide shotgun at night, and it's about the same distance as slide shotgunning, you know, a Guardian in PvP. You know, being able to jump, turn around, and slide backwards and bait somebody, you know, you practice that patrol, things like that. The one thing I'm concerned about is, like, the guns.
Okay.
It's, okay, what are going to be the good guns? You know, what's going to be the meta quickly? Is there something that's going to be hidden? Is there something that's going to take forever to drop for me?
Right.
You know, like a rangefinder, rifle barrel, IS Luna with True Sight, you know? I don't care what the third perk is, but, you know.
Exhumed.
I still haven't gotten one of those. Yeah. Look, I've had enough Exhumed drops. I don't want another Exhumed IS Luna.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I hear you there. You're right.
Guns are going to be the question for me.
You're right, because even now, like, you know, when the meta dropped a couple weeks ago, people run around going, Scouts, Burning Eye, you got to use the Trial Scout Rifle. And we're like, what, really? And then, you know, we were saying before you joined in, you know, more and more maps, you're starting to see those running with the Boolean Gemini, which is a gun that people probably don't even remember they had a year and a half ago. They got it, they trashed it, and then that was it. It was at 290. And now, with the high caliber rounds being an intrinsic perk, and scouts being what they are today, and with the flinch on snipers, that gun is actually viable on a sixes map. Like, you do a map with Frontier, you actually have a shot when you're on bridge facing somebody down this line with an icebreaker. You actually have a shot with the Boolean, which,
well,
you never thought of that before.
Well, the thing about the guns is, you know, with any map in Destiny, there's always areas where you can use certain guns. And you know, one of the things that I've learned is you have to kind of use the different types of guns on different maps to find out what works. I've gotten torn up by a Mita on the Drifter, you know, gotten destroyed by scout rifles on Cauldron. But, you know, once you learn the engagement distances for the guns that you like me, you know, hand cannon shotty, you can kind of push the momentum of the map, or at least engage in optimal distances for your gun. And if you know the maps well enough, if you know your guns well enough, you can pretty much make any map a last word map, make any map a hand cannon map. You can, if you know the sight lines, you can make any map a scout rifle map. So,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of my feel on it.
It's a good feel. Yeah, Swag echoed that before you came in. So that's two like-minded PvP players you heard there, about 20 minutes apart. But you know what? That's the truth, folks.
And it wasn't rehearsed. We didn't rehearse it at all.
I left Beanbag on pretty much in limbo the whole week because of that. Because I'm like, I don't want you to be prepared. This is a natural conversation podcast. We don't have preparedness. I have a list here of what's supposed to keep us on track. Like, we're supposed to talk about raids, but I think we're going to wrap up this podcast because we're at an hour and a half, man, because we just have a lot of fun talking about Destiny. So
yeah, and again, you know, I'm looking forward to what happens with the clan in the future. We have some kind of things working in the background. You know, we gave the tournament a try, and it was a lot of fun. Obviously, not everyone was able to participate, and that's rough, but, you know, you can only do so much, but looking forward to what we have in store. And to, like I said, I really think, you know, our goal is to be, when people say clans, I want people to say, put like BSK, IM, you know, math class. I want MO in that same conversation. It's, you know, I don't want it to get more people. I want it for us. I want the people who have built this community. I want there to be success. I want the people who want to make this, you know, a profession more than just a hobby. I want people to do that. And luckily we have this new Twitch affiliate program. And, you know, just me as the co-host want to congratulate DRM. From what I hear, you're the first MO affiliate. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Make sure to jump in twitch.tv/DRM. CIX.
There you go.
Sorry about
it's
that.
Roman, it's yeah, Roman, so, numeral, Roman numerals for 309, 3CIX.
There you go.
But I thank so, you. No, yeah,
swing by his chat, host. I like, seriously, like, everybody's got a Twitch. Like, at this point, everyone should have a Twitch. If you can, jump on, follow everyone. Like, I'll plug myself. Follow me. Follow Bo. Follow, you know, follow everybody that you can. Follow Jiggler. Follow Nasty. Jump on. It's one button. It pushes the number from, you know, I'm at 118. I know you're approaching 75 followers.
Yep.
Like, that's huge to see that.
And most of the people that follow me on Twitch are those in the clan, either previous or currently and now. And it's because of the clan that I got to that number. If you don't know, to be a Twitch affiliate, you need to have a minimum of 50 followers and then also, you know, stream a considerable amount of time. You know, not like your entire life, but you got to consider an average of 2 to 3 hours a week, and on 3 different nights. So it's not like you, do a stream at 11 o'clock PM on Friday, then it turns into Saturday because that's how Twitch works, but they want 3 separate days of you streaming. And then you gotta, you know, have at least 3 or 4 viewers watching at the same time through those streams as well. So use the clanmates. I mean, if it wasn't for RP Ginger and Aetheric and Toxus, you know, those are 3 guys that watch me all the time, whether they're multi-streaming or they're just watching because they want to see what I'm doing. You know, that happened a consistent amount of time, and those are clanmates. So if it wasn't for the clan, I don't think I would have got here. I'm still in shock because there are definitely people in the clan who have done it a little bit longer, and they have more followers than me, but I guess I was lucky to get on that rollout because they're rolling it out that, you know, soon enough, everybody's going to get it. I think that met that criteria. It's just one of those things, kind of like, you know, if you're one of the first people to get a certain thing for your cable box and everybody else has Verizon Fios, but only like 2% of the viewers in this range got the brand new interface with the brand new on demand. That's how I consider it, but I'm very blessed, and it has to do with the clan. The clan has a lot to do with it, so I appreciate it very much so. And, of course, what I'm doing tonight is not play Destiny. It's playing Mario Kart, but, you know, gotta expand. You got to expand yourself.
Well, I'll be playing Destiny.
Oh, there Overwatch, you go.
Destiny? I don't know. Something.
Something Destiny, really. But, no, I appreciate that.
Of course.
Cool. All right. Beanbag, thanks for being on.
Yep. Yeah, congratulations. Enjoy your last couple days.
Yeah. Swag, do you have any other final thoughts?
No, I don't think so. Big project in the works. Beanbag's helped me out. Jiggler and Chris helped me out. Looking forward to it. It's scheduled release September 7th, 2017.
Ooh, the day before Destiny 2.
Little.
That's a nice tease.
Preview. So if I contact you to help with it, please help me.
Yeah.
So, because I want it to be a clan endeavor. So
nice.
It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of time. We've tried it before, but the goal is to have some content released for the group on September 7th prior to the Destiny release. So
very nice. And again, like Swag said, you can check me out on Twitch, DRM3CIX. I play a lot of Destiny, but lately with the Destiny content law, I've been playing a lot of my Wii U. My Wii U has some awesome games on it, like the new Zelda game. I still haven't beaten it yet. I got all the way to the part where I have all 4 monsters, you know, going after Hyrule Castle, and then I stopped because Age of Triumph came out. So I need to go back and play that. I've been playing Mario Maker. I got a lot of followers from that because I am horrible at that game. I'm doing the 100 Mario lifespan thing, and it's humorous for everybody else because I always run out of time. Because I suck, but it's fun because that's how it works. So, and obviously Destiny raids is where you can find me. I dib and dab into PvP, but if you need a raid clear or you want to schedule some time, hit me up. I usually play really late at night, unfortunately. So most of you guys are in bed by the time I'm playing. I play around 10 p.m. Eastern, but usually for those on the West Coast or even those who are waking up that are over across the pond, I usually catch those guys before I head to bed. So awesome. Well, great episode. We'll come back Memorial Day weekend and we'll talk post gameplay release. You know, 18th is the release. It's 19 days from now, and by the time we come back on into your earbuds, we'll be talking about what we saw and what we expect and what we're excited about, and who knows, maybe what we're disappointed about. So we'll talk about that next time, and we'll see you around the galaxy, Guardians. Take care. What's your favorite color?
Oh, my favorite color is orange.
I'm gonna leave that for the end. It's like the after the credits. I'll play the music and be like, orange. That's what color my.
I mean, I thought orange was bad.
Orange.